Well, a few weeks ago, a federal judge blocked the current administration from allowing 5 states to ban purchases of sugary drinks and candy with food stamps, and Iowa was one of those states. Now, I see both sides to the argument on this one. On one hand, if someone's going to use taxpayer funds, then maybe there should be accountability. On the other hand, though, I'm just like, just buy the kids some candy. Now, while it's true that candy doesn't have much nutritional value, it can sure lift people's spirits. And that was the philosophy of a man named Colonel Gale Halverson. He was a Cold War era Air Force pilot. And not only is the story of this American hero a great pick-me-up, but it's also the perfect setup for today's scripture passage. After the defeat of the Nazis in World War II, Germany was divided between the U.S., Britain, and France to the west, and the Soviets to the east. Likewise, the capital city of Berlin was divided between west and east. Unfortunately for Berlin, it was located in eastern Germany. And whenever the communists were in control, it seemed like there was never enough food or coal, because the government controlled the lines of distribution. Then, in 1948, the Soviets cut the train, truck, and barge traffic from the Western nations to Berlin. They wanted control of all of Berlin, so their plan was to make the people of West Berlin suffer until they submitted. But President Truman wasn't going to allow that. So he made use of the only means of transportation still available by treaty to get supplies to Berlin. He would ship the supplies by plane. And thus, the Berlin airlift was conceived. Over the course of 15 months, over 2 million tons of food, coal, and other supplies were delivered primarily by the United States Air Force until Stalin eventually caved and reopened the railways, the roads, and the waterways. It was an amazing logistical success for the West. And one of the pilots who volunteered to deliver supplies to West Berlin was Gale Halverson. In his mind, there's no greater blessing or more important task than delivering food to hungry people. And on his days off in Berlin, Colonel Halverson enjoyed sightseeing and filming the city on his personal handheld movie camera. This was quite the novelty for the 1940s. And so one day, while he was filming planes landing the Tempelhof Airport, he noticed about 30 German children watching him with his camera from behind the barbed-wired fence. So he went over to meet them. The kids recognized that Halverson was a pilot, and they thanked him for dropping off supplies for them. And they told him not to worry about them so much when the weather turned bad and they wouldn't be able to drop shipments, because they didn't have much, but they didn't need much, they said. So Colonel Halverson wanted to give them something other than the necessities. But all he had in his pocket were 2 sticks of gum. The kids divided the gum between them the best that they could, and the ones who didn't get any were content to sniff the mint off the wrapper. And this just broke Colonel Halverson's heart. So he told the kids the next day he would drop off enough candy from his plane for all of them. And as he flew in, he told them he would wiggle the wings of the plane. That way they would know it was him. And then the candy would come floating down with the help of little parachutes made from handkerchiefs. True to his word, Halverson and his crew pulled their candy rations and dropped 3 care packages for the kids the next day. And he continued doing it week after week. But each week, the crowd of kids waiting at the airport kept growing. So Halverson spread the word among other pilots. And soon, candy was being dropped from American planes on a daily basis. When word of the candy drop spread to the U.S., confectioners from across the country donated sweets to Colonel Halverson's cause, who by then had been dubbed the Berlin Candy Bomber. And the operation continued until the end of the airlift. Don't you wish every plane dropped candy instead of bombs? But here's what's great about this story. Colonel Halverson was more than a friendly pilot with a sweet tooth. He was a genuinely good man. He was committed to the Jesus life, and he believed that people needed more than food to survive. These kids could have endured without the candy, right? They didn't need it. But Colonel Halverson understood that these people were more than machines to be fueled en masse. They needed more than provisions. They needed hope, they needed joy, and they needed a personal touch. And evidently, Colonel Halverson got this idea from Jesus, because that's exactly what we see in today's passage. Jesus encouraged a man who was deaf and mute. And deafness had a grip on this man, presumably since birth. But Jesus didn't just heal him. Jesus slowed down. He took the man aside and treated him like a person, not a problem. His healing, you see, was the food. That's what he needed physically. But the individual attention, well, that was the candy. It was the personal touch he needed, his soul needed deeply inside. And as it turns out, that's what the people all around us need too. And so what are we going to do about that? Well, let's find out. So please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Mark 7, 31 through 37. If you don't have a Bible, well, you're more than welcome to take out one of ours from the shelf in the pew in front of you. Turn it to page 843. Page 843, you'll find Mark 7. Or you could use a smartphone to scan the QR code on the pink worksheet in the bulletin. The Son of God would not be distant. While for centuries God had seemed far away, Jesus brought God to the people. In fact, all over the Gospels, he physically touched people, and people touched him. And when someone comes into contact with Jesus, they never go away the same. And so our summer series of messages has been entitled Touch and Go, Touched by Jesus, Changed Forever. We're going to look at every instance in the Gospels where someone touched Jesus or was touched by Jesus, and then the difference it made. And in today's passage, we are going to see Jesus release a man from the grip of deafness. But this man wasn't just some project to Jesus. He was a person, and so Jesus took his time with him. Jesus didn't just give food for his body to survive. He gave him some soul candy as well. And it's the personal touch that made all the difference. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 31. It says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' with that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" So as we've been saying, Jesus had been traveling the countryside proclaiming the good news, and he healed people. But the healing was a double-edged sword. It brought people to hear the good news, but it also overwhelmed him with needy people. And so the more Jesus asked people, you know, hey, let's just not spread the news necessarily right now as far as the healing goes and his healing gift, well, the more they told people because they were excited. And so Jesus was getting overwhelmed, but Jesus was patient with them. He took the time to heal whomever he could. And the crowd in today's passage was desperate for Jesus to heal this man held in the grip of deafness. Now, we see that this healing happened in the region of the Decapolis. So this was not your typical Jewish village like Jesus would have grown up in. Jesus had traveled into Gentile or non-Jewish areas. And back then, the Jews didn't venture too far from home. The Jews at this time didn't really share God with folks who were not like them. But Jesus didn't care about that. Jesus was for everyone. And this is the heart of the gospel, by the way. Jesus desires everyone to come to him for salvation. He wants atheists to come to him and find salvation. He wants Muslims to come to him. He wants Europeans, Africans, rich, poor, he wants the abused, the addicted, the afflicted to come. Everyone can come to Jesus. And they don't need to change one thing about themselves in order to come to him. Now, of course, Jesus wants them to go on and live the Jesus life. He wants to change everything about us. But in order to receive forgiveness and a home in heaven, anyone can come to him just as he is, despite the creed, despite his race, or even his religious background. Why? Because he offers eternal life as a free gift to anyone who believes. He said in John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through it." So this offer of salvation is based on the son's perfect life, his death on the cross for our sins, and his resurrection. So you can come to him today just as you are and receive salvation free of charge. And then Jesus, we can talk about, man, the things that Jesus wants to do with your life. And so I encourage you to do that now, to trust in him. So this foreign crowd believed that Jesus could make this man whole. He couldn't hear. He couldn't talk. Presumably, he had been born this way. And they asked Jesus to lay his hands on him. They knew that Jesus had the power to heal. They knew the power of Jesus' touch. They had heard about his touch-and-go ministry among the Jews, and they had hoped he would do it for their Gentile friend as well, presumably. And he did, of course. But how did Jesus heal this man? Because Jesus' healings weren't one-size-fits-all. Sometimes Jesus healed people with just a word. Sometimes he went through a process. Sometimes he healed people in his immediate presence. Sometimes he did it from a distance. And one time Jesus healed 10 lepers all at once. So Jesus could have just been like, "Okay, you're healed," and then went about his business. He could have done it in an instant, but that's not how it happened here. It's almost like Jesus healed this man in slow motion. He took his time, and he personalized the healing process to exactly what this man needed. What other God does that? What other God pays such close attention to our personal details? We couldn't dream of a God like this unless Jesus showed it to us in passages like these. So first, he took him away from the crowd. We sense some pandemonium and desperation as this crowd begged Jesus to heal the man. But Jesus took him aside privately. This wasn't anyone else's business, you see. This was just between Jesus and the deaf man. Next, Jesus puts his fingers in his ears. But why? You know, and then he spat and he touched the man's tongue. And it's like, okay, gross. And so what's going on here? Well, Jesus didn't need to go through these steps. As we've already said, Jesus only needed to will the man to be healed. But remember, this man couldn't hear or talk. He couldn't really listen or communicate. This man could only see and touch and taste. And Jesus utilized all three of these senses to show him exactly what he was going to do. He felt Jesus touch his ears. He saw Jesus spit. He even tasted the grit on Jesus' fingers. Jesus communicated in a way that was special and unique to him. Isn't that amazing? And I think Jesus communicates in ways that are unique to us. Some of us are spiritually intuitive. And we can hear God whisper to our spirits, and we can sense what he's calling us to do, perhaps when we're deep in prayer. Others of us are very academic. And when we read scripture, we can easily make the connection between the pages and make the connection to our own lives. But others, like me, are not as sensitive or academic as some. And we maybe struggle to hear God's voice, to be honest. But we notice when unusual circumstances come into our lives. We recognize when Jesus is working in a certain situation, and we're good at deducing from those scenarios how God is moving. Maybe we determine God's leading through talking it out with trusted friends. And sure, we should all try to develop our spiritual senses in different ways, but don't sweat it. Maybe if you don't get this mystical feeling from God all the time, you know, we all hear from God a little bit differently, and he knows your giftings, and he knows maybe your disabilities, and he'll get through to you in a personalized way when he needs to. And that's exactly what Jesus did for this man. Then Jesus looked to heaven, it says, and he sighed. Perhaps Jesus wanted to slow down and take in the moment. He was about to do something awesome for this guy, and perhaps he wanted to enjoy it. Maybe he wanted this man to feel the anticipation. I don't know. But his life was about to change forever. And then Jesus spoke, "Be opened." And the man's ears were opened. Evidently, Jesus wanted his voice to be the first thing this man heard. Isn't that cool? So this healing was perfectly crafted to suit this man's needs. You see, Jesus could have healed him in an instant. That would have been the most efficient way to do it. And that's the way this man needed it, at least physically. You know, so here's the point. Jesus could have just airlifted him the food, right? But Jesus also dropped him candy, metaphorically speaking. Jesus took the time to pay specific attention to the needs of this man's heart, not just his body. And through that personal touch, Jesus broke the death grip on this man's life. And so our main point from today's passage is this. It's on your sheet if you'd like to write it down. The main point is we need more than cold efficiency. We must draw from God's sufficiency. We need more than cold efficiency. We must draw from Christ's sufficiency. Look at the metaphor Jesus used to describe his relationship with us, and this is neat. It says in John 10, 3 through 4, Jesus says, "The sheep hear his voice," talking about God, "and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice." Now notice that Jesus doesn't compare us to, say, cattle, okay? He doesn't run us all through a chute in the most efficient manner possible. There's no cattle drive here. We are a sheep, and he is our shepherd. The process is slower. It's more personal. It's more deliberate. He calls us all by name. Each interaction is intimate. And we follow him. God is not rushed. Look at what the prophet Isaiah proclaimed. Isaiah 30:18, it says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you." God waits. He's patient. He takes whatever time is required to get our attention. He does it in a way that's specific to how he has wired each of us, because we are all deaf and dumb in some ways. And he is such a good God. He's not necessarily interested in squeezing as much productivity out of us as possible. He's not running some business. We aren't paid by the hour. In fact, God's ways probably seem somewhat inefficient to most of us. But he is always sufficient to meet our personal needs in a unique way according to his design for us. Let me give you an example. Keanu Reeves, as we've mentioned before in our times together, is known as one of the kindest, most genuine people in Hollywood. I don't know, I've never met him, but that's what people say. And granted, it's not a high bar to be considered the most genuine person in Hollywood. But that's beside the point. And if you don't know, Keanu Reeves, if you're not into movies, he's a huge star. He's blockbuster film franchises like The Matrix and John Wick, other big movies. And I read about him in an article from Sky News the other day that was kind of, it was really cool. Back in 2022, TV producer Andrew Kimmel noticed a conversation that Keanu had with a young fan after arriving in New York on an international flight from London. Kimmel had just so happened to be on the same flight as Keanu Reeves, I guess, and According to his account, the kid who approached Keanu to get an autograph was a lot, okay? So he asked for Keanu's autograph before just peppering him with rapid-fire questions, you know, as kids can do sometimes, you know? I was like, so he asked, why were you in London? Do you live in New York? Where are you staying? Question, question, question. And Kimmel noted that Keanu patiently answered every question. He answered all his questions, okay? He engaged him until the kid ran out of questions. And then Keanu started asking him questions. Why were you in Europe? Did you go to any galleries? Which galleries did you like the most? And he patiently listened to every response before asking a follow-up question. Andrew Kimmel was taken aback by how Keanu Reeves interacted with this kid. He wasn't in a hurry. He didn't appear to be annoyed by maybe the kid's lack of social graces. And he genuinely seemed interested in the life of this random stranger. Here's how he summed up the interaction. He said, Keanu Reeves could not have been nicer, especially after an international flight. The dude is a class act, and little moments like this can make such a big difference in people's lives. We need more Keanus. I couldn't agree more. Now, why does this little story make us feel so good when we hear it? Why does it resonate with us so much? Because Keanu Reeves is demonstrating for us the Jesus way, whether he realizes it or not. He didn't know that anyone is listening to this conversation. He had no idea the interaction would be shared and blow up on social media. And I'm sure he had places to go, he had people to see, but he took the time to give this kid the personal touch he evidently needed. And I think God looked down on that and smiled, because that's exactly how Jesus interacted with this deaf man. This is exactly how Jesus interacts with us. I'm sure Jesus had more important things to concern himself with than our little issues, right? That's what we think. And I'm sure, you know, we would maybe sound silly to others when we pepper Jesus with our rapid-fire questions. Why'd you let that happen? When is this discomfort going to end? How's this all going to work out? Some may even call us overbearing. But Jesus is willing to take the time to genuinely listen. He cares about the details, just as he did about the details of this deaf man's life. And folks, as Jesus people, we are called to this kind of life. We are called to have these kinds of interactions with other people. We are called to tailor our interactions with others as uniquely as God tailors his interactions with us. And to do this, we need to open our ears to really listen to other people. We need to break the grip of our spiritual deafness. You know, what do these people need from us? How did God create them to respond? In what ways can we connect with them on a personal level, just like Jesus did with this man? That's the kind of personal touch God wants from all the people that we interact with. And that's our application from today's passage. If you'd like to write it down on your pink worksheet, the application is slow your pace, know each face. Slow down your pace and know the needs of each face that you come across. I like how King Solomon said it in the Proverbs. He said, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. In other words, take the time to know each person that God has put under your care. Give attention to your kids. Know well your friends and neighbors and coworkers. But God also puts people under our care for short amounts of time. Maybe it's a chance or random encounter with a stranger, but it doesn't matter. God wants you to connect with each person you encounter before you try to fix their problems. God wants you to see each face, not just the crowd. He wants you to tailor your interaction with them according to their unique needs and challenges. But sometimes we get in such a hurry to get to the next thing that we forget that people are the thing, right? A psychology professor from the University of Illinois named Dan Simons once did an experiment to demonstrate what he calls change blindness. Posing as a tourist, Dr. Simons would walk up to a stranger to ask for directions. Now, people are nice, aren't they? Everyone was willing to help give him directions. But as soon as they were talking, two of his associates dressed as construction workers carried a door between him and the person he was talking to. And as the door was passing by, Dr. Simons quickly ducked out so his partner could slyly take his place in the conversation. His partner, by the way, neither looked like nor sounded like Simon. He was even wearing different clothes. But believe it or not, 50%, half of the test subjects, failed to pick up on the fact that they were talking to a completely different person now. They were blind to the change. So Dr. Simons hypothesized that some folks get so focused on the task at hand that they don't really see the person they're talking to. Now, I'm not here to criticize or make fun of these people. I wouldn't have noticed the change either. I don't notice anything. But let's try to really see the person before we fix the problem. Look at how Jesus handled needy people. Matthew 14, 13 through 14, it says, Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And so Jesus wanted to be alone. Maybe he was tired, so he tried to get away, but the people followed him. And I suppose Jesus could have told him to get lost, or he could have just focused on the task at hand. He could have ministered to them as quickly and efficiently as possible and sent them away. But he had compassion for them. He took the time to heal their individual ailments. And so let's put all of this together. We have interactions with all sorts of people every single day, and they all have different needs. They have distinctive handicaps and challenges and disabilities and problems. They all have unique ways of communicating. They all have their quirks and strengths and natural abilities. And some of these relationships are long-term, while others are one-off encounters. But no matter the nature of our relationships with them, God has called us to give them all the personal attention they deserve as unique individual children of God. So why are we in such a hurry? What else is so important that it needs our attention right away? Sure, sometimes we are genuinely in a hurry. Sometimes we are faced with urgent matters that are more important than the needs of the people in our path at that moment. That's fair, but not always. Probably not often. And if Keanu Reeves can take the time to really see that kid, despite whatever, you know, social situation he may have been in, I think we can also give away a few minutes when our day gets interrupted by someone. So slow down. Take the time to see each face, read each face, know each face, sigh, look up to heaven, and ask for the wisdom to know what the people around you really need. Take them aside. Jesus literally took aside this deaf man. But for you, perhaps that means just giving the person your undivided attention. And this is so hard sometimes, right? Because when we're interacting with someone, maybe we wouldn't normally, you know, we see as an interruption, it's easy to try to devise ways to escape, you know. And sometimes that's fair. You know, we want to be generous with our time, not waste it. But a minute or two of genuine attention can go a long, long way. So if you are interacting with maybe a customer in your line of work, really take the time to listen to what they need rather than trying to get rid of them. If you're approached by someone on the street, really, if it's safe, really give them your attention, even for just 30 seconds. Look at their faces. And when you have conversations with people, don't worry about what to say next. Don't formulate an immediate response. And don't worry about steering the conversation in one way or another. Just listen. get curious. What makes this guy tick? How did God wire them? What is unique about this person? And when you finally speak, communicate in a way they can understand. That's what Jesus did. Jesus used vision and touch and even taste to communicate with the deaf man that he healed. But for us, it might be as simple as stooping down to a kid's eye level. It might be as simple as speaking loudly and clearly to an older person. Ask questions about their lives. Ask specific, tailored questions to their unique situations. And call people by their names if you know them. Let the guy at McDonald's know that you see him. All right? Let's say, for an example, he refills your drink. And he's probably in a hurry, just like you are. But say something like, "Hey, man." And wait for him to stop and look at you. And then you say with all sincerity, "Thanks, I appreciate it." Do you know what that says? It says, "I see you as something more than just a pop dispenser to meet my hydration needs." And touch people. And don't be creepy about it. You know, if you're so awkward that you make it creepy when you touch people, then maybe sit this one out. But people need to be touched. And that's what the series is about. And you would be shocked at the number of people who never receive any meaningful human touch. When we pass out sandwiches to the hungry, you know, we come across folks who are maybe homeless or maybe they have substance issues, we try to shake their hands. We pray for them. We if they're open to it, we put our hands on their shoulders. What's that do? It restores dignity. Because no one else is touching folks, you know, like this. Appropriate touch is very important for some people. But refining these personal skills doesn't just happen. You need to be conscious of it. And all these skills can be developed with practice. But you gotta slow down. Okay? You've got to listen. You've got to really see who you're dealing with. Folks, it's time to break the deaf grip. We need to open our ears to the needs of those people whom God brings into our sphere of interaction. Because people don't need more efficiency in their lives. They need to experience the sufficiency of Christ through your individual attention. And so slow your pace. This isn't a race, after all. Get to know each face. Tailor your actions to the uniqueness of each different interaction. Because that's how Jesus interacts with us. But the healing doesn't stop. Not yet. The healing was one of the primary focuses of Jesus' ministry. But sometimes the healing didn't happen all at once. Actually, one time that I can think of, and that's in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. So I encourage you to read that passage, and you bring a friend next Sunday, as we're going to see Jesus heal a blind man. That wasn't unusual. Jesus healed lots of blind people, okay, back then. But in this particular instance, he does it twice. So I don't want you to miss this double take. So read the passage. You come back next week with a friend. And we're going to talk about a very unusual passage, but man, I'm so excited about the message that it has for us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the